Matthew tonight. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Let our children be dismissed for children's Bible time. Second grade on down with Mr. Frank and Miss Rodriguez. Just mention, I mentioned this morning, next Sunday morning, Lord giving me liberty, I'm going to bring a message on cultural Christianity. That was sent to me by someone who said, Elon Musk is identifying as a cultural Christian. What does that even mean? Come back next Sunday. We'll talk to you about what that means. Do some reading on it this week if you like. It's an interesting term. Cultural Christianity. I got some word from Michigan. They did not have church this morning because they had a blizzard going on. Carol's mom reported that she hadn't been able to see the neighbor's house for more than a day because the wind's been blowing and the snow's been kicking up. It's always hard to tell how much snow you got because here the snow falls down and it sits there. But in Michigan, it falls that way. And then it keeps going that way until it hits something that stops it, like a snow fence or a ditch, or the snow just moves around. So the fields might have 2 inches, and the roads might have 10 feet. I mean, it's just crazy the way the wind blows there and blows the snow around. But she said that she could see the neighbor's house for the first time in a day, so it looks like the winds there are dying down. Preacher there reached out to me this afternoon, and he said, praying for you folks there, how's the weather? And I wrote back, 60 degrees and sunny. And I said, don't you hate friends like me? And he laughed. At least I think he was laughing. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. We're doing doctrinal stuff on Sunday evening. And tonight we're looking at the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And the title is Identifying Jesus Christ. Identifying Jesus Christ. Last week and the week before, we spent a significant amount of time identifying God. And I think if you ask the normal person, is God God? They would say, oh, yeah. But what about Jesus Christ? Because he became a man, walked on this earth. What about that? Can we identify him? Are there significant identifying characteristics that we can say, yeah, he's God? Yeah, he's God. Now, we're going to look at that this evening and probably next week as well. We're in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You say you got to know the Greek and Hebrew to understand God's word. Jesus means to save. And the definition is in the verse. The definition is right there. Let's read it again. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. And she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this evening, that we, older folks, we believe that you are the Son of the living God. We would say with Peter, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the very incarnate, only begotten Son of God. Father, in this room is the future, young people. And it is not enough that we old people are convinced that you are God. Young people need to be convinced as well, and I pray that they would see the identifying characteristics this evening and be so convinced in their own hearts. We pray for that person who has not received you, the gift of God, which is eternal life. Pray that they would surrender and receive that gift and bow their head, their heart, and humility and be the recipient of the best gift of all gifts, gift of salvation. Speak to our hearts tonight, we pray, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. If you were paying attention the last couple of weeks, you know it is important to recognize traits. We saw the traits of God, his omniscience, his omnipresence, his omnipotence. It's important to see those traits and recognize. If you follow the traits of Jesus Christ tonight, that we'll show you from God's word, you'll see that the traits of Jesus Christ and the traits of God are identical. They match up. They just are. There's no tricks. There's no pretending. He is God. Some people pretend to be things that they are not. Years and years ago, or early 1990s, just to make me feel old, how many of you were not alive in 1993? Yeah, look around the room. Oh, my God. Really? Oh, man. Oh. So it was roughly 1993. I was a police officer. I worked a criminal case in one of our local elementary schools. I got your attention. There were two young men. They were identical twins. And they came to school every day, and they made certain that they dressed dramatically different than one another. One, they were identical in many traits, except that one of the twins loved math, and one of the twins loved science. And they excelled in those two classes. And so they would come into school at the beginning of the day, and the teachers would greet them, and they were dressed in. One twin went to science, and one went to math. And then at lunchtime, they would go to the restroom, and they would switch clothes. And the math twin would go back to math class, and the science twin would go back to science class. And you'd say, how in the world, how is that criminal? Hold on. Yeah, it gets better. So it went on September, October, November, December, January, February, March. A teacher walked into the restroom while they were switching clothes. He said, what are you guys doing? And, of course, they're elementary kids, so they're going, aww, and no answer. Well, it's quite obviously what they're doing. And so they were caught. And so the staff made... They're identical, but they had some distinct differences. Distinct. And so they were able to identify them, and so they started making the child go to math class, and yes, this afternoon you have to go to science class. Problem is, he's not been in science for 8 months, so he is now flunking. And the kid that was in science is now going to math. And the problem is, he hadn't been in math for 8 months, and that's bad in math, I'll tell you what. I'll just tell you. And so he's flunking math. But they are two super smart kids. And they know it is important to get good grades. So they hacked into the computer system. That is criminal. They hacked into the computer system and they changed their grades. Now, how do you hack into the computer school system, the school system's computer? I'll tell you what. I couldn't do it. But those elementary kids, they could, and they did. So it became criminal, and I got involved. It's just interesting. I looked at them because I said, you know, these two kids, and the kids didn't even do anything like, maybe you should move your grade from an F to a D. Oh, no. They moved it to 100%. Oh, yeah, man, they went all the way there. They were shining. And the teacher, of course, wanted to see if they were passing and looked at their grades specifically because he knew they were in trouble and he wanted to be a help to them and then found out, wait a minute, that's not the grade I gave you. That's not the grade you're getting. I had them both sitting in front of me. And I said to myself and said to the criminal investigators, these two guys are going to be back. I mean, they're just too smart not to be back. Because these guys are white-collar criminals right here. These are the future of the criminal justice system sitting before me. And so I'm looking at them and going, eyes are the same, nose is the same. You've got a freckle that you don't have. And that is the only difference I could determine. But listen, if you look closely, you'll see the similarities and you'll see the differences. You look at Jesus and God and you will see that he is the exact same as God. We're going to look at that this evening. Matthew 1:21, we see that they'll call his name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua, meaning to save. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at the right hand to resist him. You can also look at Joshua 1, 1. Let's go to John chapter 1, Gospel of John chapter 1. We're going to look at some scriptures this evening. This is a doctrinal message after all. And so we're going to turn to various scriptures. Jesus designates to save, designates Jesus as Savior, dying on the cross for our sins. Christ, you say, what's it? And people get over it. Do I pray in Jesus? Do I pray in Jesus Christ's name? Do I say Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus? And sometimes they use Jesus Christ, and sometimes they use Christ Jesus. It's just all so confusing. No, it's not confusing. Word emphasis, word order is important. So when you see Jesus Christ, you see the emphasis as Savior, Messiah. When you see Christ Jesus, the emphasis is on Messiah, Savior. That's what it is. It's not a play on words. It's just an emphasis on a different part of his character. So Jesus designates Christ as Savior. Christ is the New Testament form of the Old Testament term Messiah. Christ is the Messiah. What is Messiah? Messiah is the anointed one. So when you see Jesus, you see Savior. When you see Christ, you see Messiah, anointed one. Again, when they're reversed, Christ Jesus, you see the emphasis on the Messiah, anointed one, but the Savior is also part of that. But the emphasis is just in a different place. Let's look at Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, verse 3. Jesus referred to himself. This is really interesting. Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. That term, Son of Man, is a messianic term, and it occurs in Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and they came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. So that is that messianic term that Daniel uses in the Old Testament. But you will see Jesus Christ fulfilling that in the New Testament. Again, I'm here to show you the traits and the similarities and how Jesus Christ and God match up. So, let's go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Again, Jesus applied the term, the messianic term, found in Daniel chapter 7, to himself. He was the Son of Man. Luke chapter 18, verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh. Christ's return. It may be at morn, when the day is awakening. It may be at noon. But Jesus is coming, the Son of Man. When he cometh back, will he find faith on the earth? I tell you what, you want a probing question? You look at the apostasy going on in the world today. I mentioned one case Wednesday evening. That Jesus Christ, his death on the cross between two thieves, was making a political statement that he was not for the criminal Democrats on the left or the criminal Republicans on the right. That he was taking a centrist political position by being... that's nonsense. And I don't care if the guy wrote the book, Purpose Driven Life. That's nonsense. He was not making a political statement. Amen. He was dying for your sin. Amen. That's exactly what he's doing. And we're in Luke chapter 18, verse 8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? Son of Man is a superhuman character. Jesus Christ was the Son of Man. Superhuman. What could he do? Well, have you ever raised anyone from the dead recently? Pastor Chris Mann from Fellowship Baptist Church in Oakton was preaching this last week. And he had just trusted Christ as his Savior. And his preacher sent him off to Bible college. So he knew absolutely nothing about the Bible. And as there he is sitting in class, and this is one of those things, and he didn't mention this text, but I can see him talking about this text in this way. And he's sitting in class, and they're talking about these events in Scripture where Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he's like in the class going, "Whoa!" And the people have been saved all their life going, "John chapter 11." Have we become so acquainted with God's Word that we have lost the awe of the fact? Anybody here been at a funeral service where they called the name of the departed one in the casket and they got up? Jesus wasn't. He called the name. Yeah. What is he? He is a superhuman character. Not a creation. He is God. Son of man. Promising a future return from heaven with majesty and great glory. He is not only the Son of Man, he is the Son of God. Christ called the Son of God because, why? He's called the Son of God because of his miraculous spiritual birth. Being sensitive, Joseph and Mary did not have physical relations until... Now, there are those that preach that Mary and Joseph never had a physical relationship. They had no children. But he knew his wife after, had a physical relationship after the birth of Jesus Christ. Mary said, when the angel said, "Hey, you're going to have a baby." She said, "Baby doesn't happen without a man." But you are. It's a miraculous, supernatural birth. Mary had not known a man. Not been with him. Joseph said, "Nah, and I'm not going to touch her until after the birth of Jesus Christ." No one can call their testimony into account. He didn't touch her. Didn't have that physical relationship. What is it? He's the Son of God because he has a supernatural birth. Yes. I did not have a supernatural birth. I remember seeing Caitlin for the first time. She looked like an alien from outer space. I remember seeing Daniel, my oldest, for the first time. He looked like a little kid that had his head clapped with a cymbal. And I'd never seen a baby before, just after birth. But he had a cone head, and I thought it was permanent. And I'm looking at the child going, I can love you. Yeah, I can do that. And then the pastor's wife came in. So the pastor and his wife came in. So be careful when you go to the hospital what you say and how you react. You're supposed to say, "What a beautiful baby." But the pastor's wife didn't say that. She went, "Oh, his poor head." And I went, "Yeah, he's toast. He's going to look that way for life." I had no idea. I was very naive. I was. Jesus Christ, an absolutely miraculous, supernatural birth. He's the Son of Man, but he is the Son of God. He is not the son of Joseph. He is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. I love witnessing to Muslim people. Going to John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," because they always stop me and say, "I have a problem with only begotten." I know you do, because what? That makes him God. And Muslim people know that. And they do not want to admit that Jesus Christ is God. And I'm not talking to Muslims this evening. I'm talking to you. Do you believe, Mr. Warren, that Jesus Christ is God? Because your dad and I, well, maybe not your dad, we're on the way out. And you are the next generation of Christians who have to stand for truth. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the Son of God. Turn with me to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Did the people of Jesus' day understand that when Jesus Christ used the term Son of God, that he was making himself to be God? That's a good question. Luke chapter 1. verse 35. Now, let me get to Luke chapter 1. There it is. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the supernatural birth, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, the supernatural birth. Therefore also that holy thing, Jesus Christ, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Speaking of the supernatural birth. Turn with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 18. Rick chastised me Wednesday night. Can I give you a shout out, Rick? I already did. Wednesday night, we're in the book of Revelation, and Daniel flopping back and forth. And Rick, my friend, my Krispy Kreme buddy, said to me on the way out, he said, that was a really good message this evening. I couldn't keep up. So, Rick, I'll just say, if you want my notes after the service, they're yours. They got all the scriptures in it, and you can look at them. We're in John chapter 5, verse 18. Let's start at verse 17, because that's a paragraph. Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Notice verse 18. Therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God, Son of God, was his Father, what? Making himself equal with God. They believed that Jesus was saying that he was equal with God. One and the same. That's what they thought, because that's what he said. Look at John chapter 10. Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 30. Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 30. If you have a problem with this, you're really going to struggle with the next verse. The Pharisees had a problem with this. They really struggled with the next verse. What's that verse say? I and my Father are one. Are we looking at God? Look up here. Are we looking at God? Or are we looking at Jesus Christ? It's a perfect matchup. You can sit across the table and try to find a difference. But it's a perfect match. He was the Son of God. Only begotten Son of God. Supernatural birth of God. Jesus Christ. One. And he said to them, I and the Father are one. What was their reaction? Kill him. Verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to smote him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown unto you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? I'm trying to think of something supernatural I have done this week. Ah! I went skiing and I did not die. No. I'm trying to think of a food I may have made this week. Coffee. I made coffee. I put a pot of coffee this week. Not impressed with that. I opened the cereal box and poured cereal in a bowl with milk. No. Gabriella's just saying, no. Special K, would that make any difference? No, definitely not. So, there's nothing supernatural about me. Nothing. I said, how do you sleep at night with my head on a pillow? Do you snore? Yes, I do. I just went to a marriage conference. They made you stand. If you were the couple that spent the money, Mrs. Bishop stood. There was no debate about that. Which one snores the most? She said, that's you. Stand up. And so I did. And I tell you what, there's nothing supernatural about me. Nothing. I am not God. I don't match up. Why do I say that? Because there are some television preachers that think they are God. I'm just telling you, they do not match up. They are not supernatural. They are not omniscient. They are way off somewhere. But they are not God. There are some moms that think they are God. But they don't match up. Jesus Christ absolutely matches up. So which of the miracles? Bring Lazarus from the dead and none of you have ever done that. None of you have ever seen that. Listen, have you ever been to a service where somebody was praying for that? I have. You want to talk about a service that'll give you satanic chills? The casket was open. The service was going on. And Mama's sitting there with her hands on her daughter, trying to raise her daughter from the dead. She didn't. Went to Mount Comfort Cemetery. Very seldom do they open a casket at the cemetery. But you haven't seen Mom. They opened the casket. And during the graveside service, she grabbed a hold of her daughter and tried to raise her daughter from the dead. She was not successful. She was not. She's not God. I'm not God. But Jesus Christ did that. I cannot heal people that are blind. Sorry, Timothy. You are really blurry right now. But you, if it makes you feel better, you look better. I can't heal myself. Paul was not God. He had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed 3 times for it to be removed. It was not. He's not God. The televangelist might pray to bring some from the dead. They don't come back. Pray for somebody to be healed from cancer, and they die from cancer. He's not God. Amen. But Jesus Christ is. And so he says, I heal the sick. I made the blind to see. I cleansed the leper. I brought Lazarus from the dead. Which of those are you killing me for? And the room gets quiet. He is Lord. Lord is a Greek or Hebrew term, depending upon where you look, meaning sir. Jesus Christ presents Jesus Christ as Jehovah when it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Following the news this week out of Michigan, little map up here, Michigan, the lower peninsula, because there's an upper peninsula that looks like this. Lower Peninsula, Mrs. Bishop and I are from this area in the thumb. Detroit's down here. And we come M-19 down, and we come across on 94, and we go past 696. Warren Police, which is about in this area, north and west of Detroit, a police officer, day before yesterday, I think, saw a tag that didn't look right. I just say, tags that the state makes have a very distinct look. And if you think you're going to go into the backyard and make your own license plate, it's just going to stand out. Why? Because not the same. Not the same. So a police officer looks and goes, that looks homemade. That looks homemade. And so he turns on his lights and the guy takes off. Why? Because it was homemade. And he's a criminal. And so he's on the run. So they turn on the lights and they go down 696. And you don't, 696 doesn't mean anything to you, but it means something to her. Because we go by it 4 times a year. We travel in that area. And the chase is on. And they get off and they get to 8 Mile Road. So you got Detroit. 1 Mile Road is 1 mile north of Detroit. 2 Mile Road, 3 Mile Road, 4 Mile Road, 6 Mile Road, 7 Mile Road, 8 Mile Road is 8 miles north of Detroit. 17 Mile Road would be 17 miles north of Detroit. Okay, you're catching on. So he's at 8 miles. He's 8 miles north of Detroit. And he runs a red light and he hits a police car head on. This is not going to end well. Who are you? And not saying anything. But he had his 12-year-old daughter in the car. How dumb is that? So why is he running from the popo? He's running from the police because he is suspended. And you're driving on suspended, Virginia, 12 months in jail, $2,500 fine, and loss of your license for another 12 months. And so he's running for that. And he's got fake plates on that he made himself at home. It's not good. And he's running from the police. And he refused to be identified. But what do you have? You have fingerprints. They identified from his fingerprints. And then they went to the DMV and they pulled up his picture. You look the same. What? I'm just saying. 2 points, and they identified this guy as Michael Brooks, 33 years of age. easily identifiable by two things. And you listen, you read the article and you say, oh, that Brooks guy, 33 years of age, what a dumb guy, taking his 12-year-old girl, making license plate, being on suspended and driving. I mean, how dumb is that? But with two points, you believe that he is Mr. Brooks. And Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ, Son of Man, Son of God. And we're going to call that into question. Just saying. It's not fair. It's not fair to God. It's not. His holiness. I'm going to give you what qualities did Jesus Christ possess? Well, he was holy. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. I'm just going to read this one. I'm not going to make anybody turn there. Are you okay with that? Okay, here we go. Wherefore he, Jesus Christ, is able also to save them from the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he, Jesus Christ, ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. I just say that's not me. Not the televangelist. But it matches up with God. Again, what are those qualities? According to Hebrews 7, and they're indisputable, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens. He is immutable. He doesn't change. We know God doesn't change. Jesus Christ doesn't change. Hebrews chapter 13, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's the same yesterday and today forever, so is Jesus Christ, same. I am not. I'm in a pretty good mood tonight. Tomorrow, don't talk to me before coffee. Right? Isn't that what we say? Jesus Christ doesn't have to have coffee to get in a good mood. I'm not God. But he is. He is. Turn with me to John chapter 14. We know God is truth. We uphold the Holy Scripture, the separated Word of God. We know that God's word is truth. But what did Jesus Christ say to Thomas in John chapter 14, verse 6? I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does he do? He matches up with God. So are you truth? Yeah. Do you ever fudge a bit? Robin, answer that for me. She's shaking her head, yes. Yesterday she said, is this your birthday? Well, I want to answer. And so I said, it's my grandfather's birthday, my maternal grandfather. And it was. That's not the question she asked. What was I being? I was being purposely deceptive. God is not perfectly deceptive. I'm not God. I'm just telling you, I am not God. Are you convinced of that? You should be. But Jesus Christ is. He matches up perfectly. I don't. Televangelist does not, but Jesus Christ does. He absolutely does. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. God is love, right? You know that? Jesus Christ is love. Well, Pastor, you're giving a lot of characteristics, but how can I know that Jesus Christ loves? Well, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he, God, Jesus Christ, one and the same, laid down his life for us. Here's a question, easy, slow pitch it over the plate. Have you died for anybody recently and come back from the dead? I'm not talking about a Sunday afternoon nap. Nobody. It's because you're not God, but he is. He did that. He died for us, and he rose again, because he is God. Matches up perfectly. He is omnipresent. God is omnipresent. I have a hard time being in one place at one time. He is everywhere at the same time. Matthew chapter 28, he said to his disciples in the 20th verse, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Enough said. I'm not. I can't be. I cannot be in two places at once. routinely people ask me to be in two or three places at the same time. I cannot. Can't do it. But God can. Jesus Christ can. Turn with me to John chapter 3. Gospel of John chapter 3. This is the dialogue between Jesus and Nicodemus. I love this because Jesus absolutely claims to Nicodemus that he is God, and he claims the qualities of God as he talks to him, which has to cause Nicodemus to go, whoa, whoa. John chapter 3, verse 13. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, who is that? That's him. He is the Son of Man. That's his title. But notice what he says, the Son of Man which is in heaven. This is what he's saying to Nicodemus. Hey, 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 you see me? I'm the Son of God. I'm in front of you and I'm in heaven right now, both at the same time. Process that. I can't be in two places at once. You can't be in two places at once. But here he is talking to the ruler of the Jews, Nicodemus, and he's saying, I'm in front of you. I'm the Son of Man. I have a miraculous birth. I am the supernatural product of God. I'm the only begotten. One and the same. I perfectly match up. And while I'm right here talking to you, I'm in heaven. Both at the same time. Pretty powerful. He is omnipotent. Powerful. God is powerful. Jesus Christ is powerful. What did he say? All power is, Matthew chapter 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Say, well, how did he demonstrate that? Well, the world is a pretty good example of that. The air that you're breathing that you can't see, he created that. Spoke it into existence. He is omniscient. Turn with me to John chapter 1, Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 47. This is, if you liked the message that I gave the first part of December, of Zacchaeus was in the tree and Jesus came along the road to Jericho and he looked up in the tree without ever having met Zacchaeus, without having a teleprompter, without having a secret listening device in his ear, somebody in the crowd shooting him information, looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. He knows my name. He knows my name. We have a lady here in the 8:30 service, and she said to her mother, Pastor does not know my name. And so she said, I said to her after the service, I called her daughter by name, and said, she has such a pleasant look on her face. And she said, you know her name? I said, well, yeah, I know her name. Yeah, I know who she is. She said, she doesn't think you know her name. She said to me this morning, Pastor doesn't know my name. I said, when she came in this morning, I called her by name. And she said, well, I haven't talked to her since I got in here this morning. I came in a little bit late. And I said, well, that's okay. So on the way out, I called her by name. And Mom just smiled from ear to ear because of like, that was impressive. But listen, it shouldn't be impressive. Can I have a cheat sheet? And when somebody comes in and Brother Warren identifies them, he gives me a little cheat sheet with notes. And he goes, blue shirt, red tie, George. Third row, short hair, ugly. No, he doesn't do that. But I need help. Jesus didn't have help. And he walked over to the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, how do you know my name? Because he's God. We're going to prove you're God today. We're going to have... Ray, we'll start with you. We're going to have you stand up. Okay, stand up. Go stand up. Okay, face the auditorium. Face the crowd. Okay, you ready? Yep. Now, starting with this one, you better get this one right. Oh, yeah. I want you to give the name of everybody that I point to. You ready?
Eden.
Would you make it through the whole room?
I think I could.
People in the back are really scared right now because they're like, ah! What was it? We're not God. But he is. Listen, God knows your name. We're in, where are we? Let's find out here. We're in John chapter 1, verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming. Never met Nathanael. Coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed." And Nathanael is going, how do you know? In whom is no guile? How do you know that? Because he's God. Nathanael saith unto him, look at the question, "Whence knowest thou me?" Nathanael here is testifying, "You don't know me, we've never met. How do you know me? How do you know that I'm an Israelite with no God?" Jesus answered and saith unto him, "Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." Man, if that doesn't give you goose pimples, your goose pimple maker is broken. Because I read that, I've studied that, I know it's in the outline, I know it's there, I know I'm going to say it. And I have goosebumps right now. He not only knew his name, knew what he was, knew where he came from, he knew who called him, Philip, and he knew where he was sitting where he called him, and Nathanael is, how can you possibly know that? Because he is God. And he demonstrated that over and over again. Here's our problem. We have just seen it so many times. We're like, oh yeah, I know his name. Big deal. I know everybody's name. No, not without a cheat sheet, you don't. And it's really amazing how many people come up to me and say, "Who's that? In the back row." "Well, that's so-and-so. You know that white guy without hair? Sits over here, been coming for, I don't know, 3 years. You need a cheat sheet. You need one. Get yourself a yellow thing, put it in your Bible, start writing names down. Before you talk to them, bald guy, third row. And then you'll know." Jesus Christ didn't need to do that. He knew exactly who he was. He was the life. Look, turn to John chapter 1, one page back.
"In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made." That was made. Mary, did you make this? No, she just put it together. God made that. And if you think you're a creator, I'd like to take one of those apart and have you come put it back together. And we will laugh and post the video on Facebook of how miserable a job you do. Why? Because you're not God. But he is. He is. Nothing is too hard for him. In him was life. Look at verse 4. "Of a light shineth in darkness, the darkness comprehended it not." In verse 4, "In him was life, and the life was the light of man." July 1997, there were some skeletal remains that were found in Camden, Wyoming, Delaware. Now, when I first saw that, I thought, Camden, Wyoming is that way, and Delaware is this way. But I kid you not, there is a community in Delaware, Kent County, that is called Camden, Wyoming. You talk about confusing. Where are you from, Camden, Wyoming? Oh, you're from Wyoming. No, I'm from Delaware. Anyway, Camden, Wyoming, Delaware, 1997, they found some skeletal remains of an unidentified person. They sent them for forensic analysis, and they found... Are you paying attention, especially those of you that are in the government education camps called school today? From DNA, they found that she was a girl. And no transgender stuff when you're a skeletal remain. You're a boy or you're a girl. You're one of the two. Right? One of the two. That's just the way it works. So they found her skeletal remains. She is a girl. But the forensic stuff wasn't, well, they couldn't tell anything more about that. In 2022, they reopened the case because technology has improved, And they got they took the DNA, the sample, and they put it through again, and they found they had named her UP2262. Unidentified person 2262. UP2262. That means to me that there are 2,262 identified people in the county of Kent. That's what it says to me. Maybe not. But anyway, she was 20. I can't even say this. I'm looking at Paul. UP2262. 2022, they pulled her out and they did DNA advances and they found a family matchup. And she, UP22, no longer exists. 2262. She is now Yvonne Hollister. Through DNA, they found out she was a girl. And they found out she had a family. And they found out that this family had a missing girl in 1997. She has a name. And you read that article and you say, oh yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we believe it. But you're not going to believe these evidence that he is the Son of God? That it matches up perfectly? That he knew that you're going to see this stuff and you're going to say, lots of people come back from the dead. Lots of people receive their sight. Listen, Timothy loved to meet them. Lots of people get cured from cancer. We have people in the room who love to meet them. Truth of the matter is, God heals. Amen. Jesus Christ did. Because he is God. What's it going to take to convince you? Jesus Christ is a mystery of godliness. God manifests in the flesh. Two distinct natures, divine and human. The humanity of Christ, listen, the humanity of Christ is seldom called into question. There are a lot of people that call his deity into question. I'm not going to be one of them. I believe. The question is, Mr. Warren, do you? Josiah, do you? Because you're the future, I'm not. Somebody looked at me yesterday and said, wow, you look old. Oh, I'm sorry. I said, no, that's okay. Nobody looks at me and says, wow, you are the hope for the future. No, they say, man, how old are you? Whoa, and you're on skis. That's what they say to me. You go to the ski place and they go, really, at your age, should you be skiing? That's questions they ask me nowadays. I go to the amusement park and I read the high blood pressure, heart problems, over 50 years of age. You know, it's like, I'm like 8 out of 10 out of don't ride this if. I'm old, but Josiah, you're the future. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? God says it in his word, Son of Man, Son of God. His holiness is without question. His sinlessness is without question. His miracles are without question. There are people that saw it. But do you believe? His name, Isaiah, believed it. His name shall be called Wonderful, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Abundant proof for the humanity. Abundant proof for the deity. But the question is, what think ye of Christ? Bow your heads, close your eyes. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. You're here this evening. You do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But you see it tonight. It's hard to dismiss it. Wow. Bible is true. Yep. Jesus Christ is God. Yep. Question is, will you receive the gift that he bought on Calvary's cross, the gift of God, which is eternal life? Pastor, I'm here. I'm not saved. I need to be saved. Would you pray for me? And I will. I will. Pastor, I'm not saved. Pray for me. Slip your hand up. Hold it up. Don't be afraid. I'm not saved. Need Christ. Stand to our feet with our heads bowed and eyes closed. You want to pray at the altar tonight? You got a burden. You want to pray for the Meyer family? You want to pray that at the altar tonight? That'd be great. You obey as God speaks. Piano plays. Will you come?